Welcome to episode 6 on tap with Steve and Brian. Six. Yeah. We've made it a lot farther than we thought we were going to.
Hopefully. When we stop counting?
I don't know. I think I've kind of committed myself to just saying the number to remind myself.
That sounds good, yeah.
So I've actually watched back the last episode. And I say it quite a bit, actually. I have a lot of crutch words, and I hear them more often. But I mention the episode number in a lot of my speeches, like when we're talking.
That's good.
Like if we're talking about something, like I actually think, we did probably going to see it more throughout this event, or this podcast. I can't promise, but I will say that it has made my ride from here to Myrtle more enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, maybe we set the tone that we're drinking, and people was like, "Oh, drinking games within the show." Every time he says episode 6, or ladies and gentlemen, we drink.
Yeah,
hey, there we go. I like it.
Got it.
I think we're going places with
now, that. Now, for some of you, I would not do that while driving.
No.
But, I mean, it's up to you.
Now you can.
Oh, I can, yeah. So for those that have known me, obviously, like to drink beer.
Steve drinks beer because Steve's a bit of a drinker.
But just took on the craze of Michelob Ultra Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero alcohol. Tastes the same. 29 calories now, so that was nice. Big change is coming. That'll last probably about a week, and then I'll get back. But it's fine.
Well, you're much further ahead than where you were last year.
Yeah,
in Martinsville, we were fully committed.
Yep.
Then you said about a week. You called me and said, "Yeah, I'm done with that."
Yeah. Well, except now I can kind of push through with zero. Makes me feel like I'm doing it. But anyways, I digress. But back to regular beer.
Yep.
It's always a lot better. We've had a bunch of good shows. Kind of on our end, looking at the back end. Viewership, man, has been a lot more impressive to me than I thought it was going to be. I thought it'd be like you and I watching it, maybe Jacqueline. But numbers are good so far, so that's why it keeps us coming back. So if somebody hasn't watched this, please spread the word. We'd love to kind of make our time worth it. Whenever we come out here and do these things, we want people to enjoy what we're putting out there. We've got a lot of cool stuff for this episode. We're going to have a chance to speak to Bob Dillner. He's going to stop by. We're going to have conversations about the upcoming modified event this Saturday. Zach Brewer Memorial is coming to us. Going to be about 20-plus modifieds. Bob's going to speak on that. Just speak on really kind of goes back to Luke Baldwin. I'm not going to say it. Well, actually, I'll say it just for the drinking game portion. Episode 5.
Ooh, there it is.
There it is. Drink.
Drink.
Episode 5, Luke and I talked about my family's relationship with the Baldwins, and then the Dillner's family and myself in a different way have, kind of ties. They spent a lot of time up in the Northeast going to tracks that I grew up at, tracks that my parents raced at, tracks that I raced at. So it's a fun thing to talk to people with the same passion towards racing in general, but also the modifieds because, that's just all I've known growing up. Brian grew up with late model stocks, and I've gotten accustomed to late model stocks, but, my heart belongs to modifieds at the end of the day. So going to talk to Bob. We're also going to bring in later on this episode. We talked about how we're going to add podcasts to our platform on Ultra Broadcasting. And we're going to bring in our newest podcast creator that's going to be joining us later this afternoon in the podcast. Going to be exciting from what I understand and how he wants to handle business.
I bet he takes over viewership numbers.
Yeah, probably. Actually, probably as soon as we start adding everyone, you and I are just going to be hanging out. Like we're going.
We're a person too.
We're going to
give some credit.
I'm a person too, Pops. But so we're going to speak to somebody later this afternoon. We don't want to get into that in the opening here. We want to kind of leave that for you to see when it shows up. It's going to be exciting. Again, we talk about it almost every episode. Doesn't have to be episode 5.
Drink. But this is.
This one's episode 6.
There you go. Drink again.
Drink. But like we talked about, ultrabroadcasting.com is going to be a thing that we want to continue to make where if you tune in and you get the subscription, not only are you going to get a bunch of races, you're going to get all kinds of cool stuff behind the scenes. It's a work in progress. It's not something you can do overnight. You can't get out there and start filming every racetrack and every person. But, we're excited. Going to take a trip to Lakeview this week to kind of do a site visit, get the lay of the land there. But we're going to keep adding to ultrabroadcasting.com. I will say that this week watching the event, for those that are going to watch the modifieds, it will be on Flow. Flow has done a great job with what they're doing. We've talked about it before. We've got no nothing against Flow. We're not trying to take over Flow. We just we're doing our own thing in our own area, and we're going to continue to just make it as good as we can. But tune into Flow, and then as soon as the modifieds are over, if you've got the subscription, tune back into us, Ultra Broadcasting. I was on the phone again today. They said within 2 weeks I'll have the first beta test of our app. Nice. So hopefully within before the end of March, we should be on all platforms that you want. So right now, fight through it. Brian kind of taught me the easy way, but fight through it with the ultrabroadcasting.com URL.
Yep. On the Fire Stick, Amazon Silk is like your browser app, and you can easily access it there. You just type in the URL and go right to it.
Right. And it's just like, it's basically the website. The reason that I tried so hard by myself for a while is that the website functions fine, and it looks good as an app. Yeah. It's just getting to it conveniently for everybody. So that will happen. But for now, like I said, just kind of bear with us for the next couple weeks, and just go to ultrabroadcasting.com and any platform you can, whether you got to go to Amazon Silk or stream it from your phone to the Roku. I know you can do that. Again, I know it's a challenge right now, but that will end shortly. But going to be an exciting weekend. We've talked about it kind of leading up to this, how important the Zach Brewer Memorial was to me and to their family. And we've worked really hard all week and last couple weeks making sure we're getting all the things in line that we want to honor him and to make sure that the family gets to celebrate him and in a good way. So going to be a great race. Like I said, 20 cars. We've also start our first ever Palmetto Clash season.
Points does begin. Back to the modifieds. You know who my money's on.
Oh, money, Matt.
Big money, Matt. Yeah,
Brian loves.
How do you not? But I mean, how do you bet against him? It's like used to say back in what the 2018-17 circle, whatever. We said, who would you pick? Would you pick Lee Pulliam in a late model stock, Matt Hirschman in a modified, and I think we had a couple other guys, but you got to go with Matt, right?
You got to. And he's so, like, quiet. Like, he's just kind of there, and then all of a sudden he pops up. Oh, yeah. You know he's going to be at the end. Like, you can look at him as much as you want while you're watching the race. Like, we've done it here and at Myrtle. You're like, oh, man, he's in the back. There's no chance he's getting up there. And all of a sudden, look at him. He's up here.
But I will say this race last year, Carson Lofton kind of threw us for a curveball.
Oh, yeah,
I was sitting there, like, staring at Matt because, you know, David Hoots was calling the race, and I was up there in the tower, which kind of be an extra set of eyes, and watching. I was like, oh, Matt's waiting. No, I think the competition level is just much higher than what it used to be because he couldn't do anything with him.
Yep. So, yeah, no, it's going to be a great field of cars, as always. Palmetto Clash starts, so we've got our Chargers are back for the first time this year, mini stocks. We've got Legends Bandos confirmed to just make sure. I know it kind of gets – they got a lot going on, but INEX Sanction is a done deal. We got it figured out. Everything's good, so it will be Bandoleros and Legend cars opening up the INEX season, as well as the Bell & Bell Vintage cars will be out there opening the event. So,
and the 602 crates.
And the 602 crates, sorry. Yep. And that will be on the Ultra Broadcasting side of the broadcast. So if you're willing to watch some of that, tune in. But yeah, the season's here. We keep saying it. We said it episode, I don't even know, way back when, about the icebreaker.
Now we're getting lost. Yeah. That's why I was wondering when we're going to stop counting. I will say the 602 crate. So that race last year probably was the best one of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, they were side by side coming to the line. I mean, I think they got together in turn 3 and 4 coming to it.
Yep.
It was a really good race.
Yeah, that was that Slate last year, Myers?
Yeah, it was. Who else was it? He was racing. Jack Baldwin, maybe?
He might have been, yeah.
I think it was them two.
Yeah.
But it took me I don't know how long of trying to figure out why are we 62 laps and then 602 crates. That's that makes sense.
Got it.
Now I get it.
Yep. So a lot of racing action coming up, but what I was getting at is we said the racing season's here. Well, it's officially here. Opening night, season, points start March 22nd. We'll have the late models back for their opening as well as trucks and all that. But this weekend, Zach Brewer Memorial, episode 6, drink, has got a lot of cool stuff for it or with it. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back on tap. Welcome back on tap with Steve and Brian.
I mess with it all the time. I'm sorry.
I said I mess with this a lot. You mess with that a lot. But we did start a drinking game, so that's kind of cool. So maybe that'll be in the drinking game part when you mess with the microphone stand drink.
There's going to be some drunk people on here. All right.
Well, welcome to our world. So a lot of stuff to talk about from the past weekend. I know I got a lot of texts and calls just kind of curious on my thoughts. Talked about it a little bit yesterday. Took Owen to That's Racing with Danny Lockamy. Talked to Josh Harris from Darlington Raceway. You know, kind of a crazy weekend. I've had a chance to actually drive Atlanta numerous times, not in the configuration and not at the speeds they were running the other day. I ran pretty quick there, but it's actually a pretty cool race. The high speed and the draft stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out I've always questioned restricted plate racing, but that one, I mean, tire wear comes into play. Like, you can definitely see handling's a thing now.
Yep. Wild finish. Excited for Austin Hill. He came home victorious again, especially in his hometown. Austin being a part of the AK Performance crowd, know his family really well, and proud to see him, Richard Childress, end up. Speedway stuff he's got.
Yeah, he's got to figure it out. They showed some kind of wins list. Like, he's pretty high on.
Yeah, he's up above junior now and above
like
senior.
Five or six. Yeah.
Yeah, his super speedway stuff's amazing. So he won, and then
Kyle won first.
Yeah, Kyle Busch. That was cool. Yep. Yep. Kyle coming back victorious. I know it's probably frustrating. He's so used to winning that when you kind of go on a streak like that, a truck race is probably just as important as a cup race at this point, just to kind of get some momentum and get some confidence.
Speaking about frustrating with Kyle, he was definitely frustrated with Carson Hocevar in the cup race. Kyle, I watched I guess you could say the X-rated, but with the R-rated, where, he was cussing out pretty early in the race.
Oh, really?
Hocevar was doing some questionable moves, which it seemed like he did it the whole race because he had a line of drivers wanting to talk to him.
Yeah, well, we talked about that yesterday at the talk show with Dan. Put you and I in that position. He's running the back the whole time. Now he's up front. I'm doing whatever it takes to stay up there. You might not agree with it, and you guys. But I said too. I thought at the end, besides maybe Kyle, I didn't see his part. But the way Chastain and the way Blaney talked to him was very calm. It almost had like a hey, little brother, big brother stuff. Like, we get it, but next time let's not do that. Yep. Like that wasn't right. But the stuff that I got texted about, none of that stuff. Was just my thoughts on the end of the race and how it kind of finished compared to how the last couple races have finished, which surprised the heck out of me. You've never really seen inconsistency from NASCAR. They seem like they always – whether I agree with it, I still don't agree with the yellow light. I say you do like we do. If it's safe to come to checkers, let's come to checkers.
One thing I got to say, though, can we not get a better pixelated version of the yellow light?
Yeah.
Like, they zoom in so bad you can hardly make it out. Like, is it yellow? I can't even tell. Watch it.
Yeah, it was terrible. But, you got to do the same thing. We've talked about
ultra,
it before.
Ultra broadcast and get a better shot of that.
Yeah. We'll get it next year at the Daytona 500.
Like I said, that close, like Bob Barker, $1.
But, I think you just got to do it. Like, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you got to do the same thing.
Yeah, you got to stay consistent. Yep. That's one thing we preach about all the time. Like I said, you and I butt heads sometimes on calls, but we set the precedence, which throw out to Milliken.
Mm.
That's a good word for Milliken. You just got to stay with it all the time. Every race has to be the same.
Yeah. Will, I think it was Will, not Will Hudson. I want to say Will Hudson, but Will Burns. Well, there was a time at Myrtle Beach that he spun someone or hit somebody. And definitely wasn't technically his fault. He was way under there.
But already pulled to the bottom?
Pulled to the bottom.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yep. He knew exactly what was happening.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of doing the same thing over and over again. Because then it takes out the, did you do it for this guy? And you didn't do it for that guy? And you're going
to, like... Throckmorton did it here one time. He got in the back of one of the rev cars and said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to the back.
Yeah.
I think the next week he was up here in the tower where he said, oh, I went ahead and moved down because I knew you were going to put me to the back.
Yep.
So did hit him.
So as long as you do the same thing over and over again, because I say all the time, race directing is probably one of the hardest things out there. Now, NASCAR's got it a little bit easier because they got a lot more camera stuff and a lot more technology than we got. But you having to see it and eyeball it, and you do a tremendous job, way better than I do, of seeing things start to happen. But being able to catch it and then also translate it into what did I do previously to make this call the exact same.
Yeah, you could kind of see it brewing laps before it happens for the most part. It's really tough in these long races with late models because you got so much pack racing. Legends and Mandos are by far the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they show up like 30 or 40 every time.
I mean, then on Sunday, I mean, the Cup guys are, once again, setting a precedence to drive through the people in front of you, and these kids are starting to do that. We got to start getting this figured out at some point. But it is tough here. And you always want to make the right call. You try to see it. But I'm telling you, them guys over there, they'll remind you. They'll come over here like a hockey game, beating on that glass. Like, well, okay, I get it. Yep. You're looking at your car. I'm looking at all 40 cars.
Yep. And the nice thing is, like we talked about in episode 5, drink, is that the replay helps you, or helps us, to be able to, like, you see it, you saw it, you know what to do, but it makes it easier for us to show them, like, hey, look at this with me. Like, what do you think happened here? So I think the replays have helped us a ton. Now, we know we're doing the right thing. And we say it in the driver's meeting every time. Everybody here is going to get the same respect are the same. Like, you hit somebody, you're going to the rear with them. It doesn't matter who you are from front to back. And I think that, again, that, I go back to that with the NASCAR side. You just got to do the same thing. Pick one, you know, or and do it. I think, if I had to guess, they're going to go back to that light one and stick to that. If I had to guess, but I have no idea.
But to your point about favorites, I hate to be an ass here, but I don't like any of them.
Yeah,
I still feel I'm plenty capable of driving. Beating so them. I'm never going to say, "Oh, I'm going to give him favorites." And screw all you guys.
Yeah, yeah,
and girls.
Yeah, while I'm up here. Yeah, while I'm up here.
I mean, I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can about it, but I'm fully capable of pulling off what you can. Right. I think.
So we got a show ahead of us, and we're getting ready to dive in. We talked about it in the opening. We're very fortunate he took some time with us, but Bob Dillner joined us this afternoon, or he's going to be joining us here in just a second, and talk about Modified. So we want to welcome in Bob, and we'll bring him on the other side of this break. So stay tuned for some more On Tap. All right, welcome back to On Tap with Steve and Brian. We spoke on the going into break. We were going to have a chance to speak to someone bigger than life when it comes to the motorsports world, whether it's been all the things short track-wise he's done, and now his passion, all of our passions, really, on the modified side. We want to welcome in Bob Dillner. Bob, thanks for being here.
Hey, excited to be here, and I think it's awesome that you guys are doing this show and what you guys have done with Lawrence Motor Speedway, you know, since you've taken over, Steve, and all your staff is just awesome. I know I love coming there. I wish I came more than once a year, but I love coming there at least once a year to see what you got going on.
Yeah, and it's so my dad was funny yesterday. He was sitting there. Actually, it wasn't yesterday. I guess it was Sunday. We had Ryan Newman was out here testing. His daughter actually was out here testing her 602. As well, and my dad, you know, we grew up, Bob knows our history. We talked about it with Luke Baldwin a little bit the last episode, but man, to hear that difference in noise, and my dad said, he goes, man, I'm just tired of hearing those late models. I wanted to get you, like, that sound that those modifieds bring is just unbelievable. And he had the chills yesterday as well as myself, and I think we're gonna have more of that this week, because not only are the modifieds coming, it's our chance to honor Zach Brewer and what he's meant to us and meant to the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Zach did and just his personality and his character, and he was a fiery competitor, too. I just love, you know, being able to celebrate Zach and his family. I really think that if you think back, even I remember Zach in the old Goody's Dash days, you know, and those high-pitched race cars that NASCAR used to have. And he was such a prominent figure over there and a winner in that series and then dabbling in a lot of different things. But he kind of made the modified community his home for so long, in and out of different series, you know, winners of races. He won a NASCAR modified race at Bowman Gray Stadium and competed on and off with the Smart Tour as well for a long time. So it was difficult for the entire Southern Modified community to lose him last year at such an early age. And you know, I loved all of last year that nobody, not a single person in the Southern Modified community forgot about Zach Brewer. And I think that shows you, you know, how much of an impact he made on the entire community, because, you know, whether they spoke about him, whether they had stickers on the car, somehow they always had the opportunity and took advantage of it to remember how important Zach was to all of us.
Yeah, and I went to the funeral, and it spoke volumes when you saw that place. It was a massive church, a huge place, and it was filled completely. I mean, there was standing room only. It shows what kind of person he was. My kind of funny Zach story, we used to work together at the Richard Petty Driving Experience, and I'll never forget it. I think we sent him – we used to have a head driving instructor that would go to each racetrack, so they were in charge of all the instructors and the ride drivers. So I think we sent Zach there to Bristol one time, and he was out checking the marks where we wanted to go. And he took a 15-passenger van on the banking, came to a complete stop, which is still nerve-wracking as it is. And he opened the door, and that door, that son of a bitch, went flying all the way back around on the banking at Bristol. So it wasn't his shining moment, but it was funny. But no, so Bob, this weekend, Modifieds, looks like we're going to be over the 20 mark again, as always, for the opener. I know I talked to Chris a little bit about some guys just off-season came a lot faster than they were prepared for, not quite ready to get here, and then also New Smyrna kind of tore up a few cars that aren't going to be able to show up. So, but 21 cars at a 4/10 mile here at Florence always puts on for great racing, but, you know, looking forward to all the competitors coming Saturday for the race.
And you such a diverse group of modified drivers coming too, and that's what I like. You know, yeah, you got Ryan Newman; he's going to be fast. He's always fast, no matter what. You have the Burt Myers and so forth. You know, the Joey Coulter. You know, but I think if you really take a look at what we have a lot of newcomers as well. Now, Luke Baldwin, just in his second year in the modifieds, won the championship and the Rookie of the Year title last year. But then you have other drivers like Slate Myers. You know, we've seen him at Florence run a crate modified, and now he's stepping up to the big world of the high horsepower, you know, smart modified tour and going after that Rookie of the Year. You know, Carter McMurray with Jamie McMurray's son going to be there as well. And that's going to be fun to watch those two and those personalities kind of go at it for the Rookie of the Year title, because it means a lot. I'm sure it would mean a lot. You know, Carter's been racing for a little while. I cannot believe that he's going to be running in the Smart Modified Tour, because I remember when our kids on the Cup Series were playing together at MRO back in the day, and I'm like, wait a second, Carter McMurray? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. So that's going to be cool. And then Slate, listen, the Myers, you know, family has so much history within Southern Modified Racing and all of Southern Racing. But Slate definitely brings, you know, a new attitude to some degree. He's like a combination of Jason and his dad, Bert. You know, he's got a little edginess to him. Bert's always picking on him for his hair and this and that. But Slate's got to be Slate. And we're going to find out the character of Slate Myers this year. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. But it's kind of like you talked about, Steve, you know, the sound of the modifieds. There's just something addicting to the sound of a modified when you hear it crank up. I love super late models. I love late model stocks. I love all forms of racing, dirt and pavement. But there's just something special. I grew up with it. You know, you grew up with it. Heck, you know, I don't even know how many Zacharias family members were involved up there, you know, upstate New York. But I think it was like 500, you know, in the modified community. Back in the day, but you know, the Dillners have always loved modified racing, grew up on tracks like Isom Speedway, a fifth of a mile, and Riverhead Raceway. Heck, I'm going back to Riverhead for the first time in probably 15 to 20 years for their 75th anniversary this year. I'm looking forward to that this summer.
Yeah, so to my family side, obviously grew up, we talked about it with Luke a little bit, you know, as far as there's a pile of us, that's for sure. And but it was fun yesterday, again, Sunday, when they were out here testing. Even Owen, you know, he's seen him a couple times. I don't know if it really registered to him, but yesterday he saw, he goes, "You used to drive those?" And, man, they're so different. People don't realize how exciting they are, first off, to watch, but then to get inside there. You know, we talked about it with Luke. They really haven't changed, Bob, for the last handful of years. I mean, there was a time back, you know, when my dad was driving the coupes and coming up through there, but in the early 80s, late 70s, it kind of took a shape. And then all of a sudden it is the modifieds we see today with a little bit of changes. And like Brian said, it might be a benefit to the modifieds. The late model stock world seems like it's changing daily, whether it's bodies, shock parts, motor combinations, the chassis builders. But for the most part, the modified has kind of stuck around, you know, through the test of time.
Yeah, it has, honestly. I still remember that, you know, we're back still in that sort of cavalierish, right, you know, mode that they came out with, what, the mid-80s or whatever it was. But I remember Tommy Baldwin, you know, having, you know, the Tiger Tom, having the first cavalier-type bodied modified that I ever saw. But you're right, the evolution has definitely stayed the same for a long time. I think in the mid-80s there, you know, they changed some things safety-wise on the cars, and it definitely paid off. And these cars are a lot safer because of some unfortunate things that happened. And to the test of time, they're you know, still one of the fan favorites. And, you know, the South has always been known as that late model stock, especially over the past few decades, has been the late model stock era. And I see late model stocks really growing right now. And the competition last year was pretty fierce on the racetrack and sometimes off the racetrack as well. But there's just something special. You don't see modified racing as much as you do in regards to the late model stock cars. So I think when they come to town, like, unfortunately, to some degree, right, we only, you know, get to visit Florence Motor Speedway one time a year. And it would be neat to go to two, but at the same time, that one is really special. So hopefully everybody sees, oh, modifieds are coming. Let's get out to Florence Motor Speedway, because we know how good of a show it was, you know, the past few years. And I think that's what you're seeing. We're starting to build traditions within the Smart Modified Tour. And for somebody like you and me, who grew up around the modified traditions of the Northeast, I think it's really important. We always had the Spring Sizzler and the Race of Champions and, you know, the Icebreaker, all those different races. I used to come up to Shangri-La Speedway and Spencer each and every year, and you knew, you know, you had to see, you know, the different groups of races. And now with what Chris Williams has reinstituted with the Smart Modified Tour, we finally got that feel back. And everybody looks forward to going to Florence Motor Speedway at the beginning of the year to kind of kick off the season. And to your degree, and listen, there are people, like you said, that got wrecked down at Smyrna or are still building their cars. I talked to Cody Norman this week, and he really wants to be there, you know, with the Smart Modified Tour. I know he's running the crate car on Saturday. But he wanted the big high horsepower Smart Modified as well. And his brand new car is just not ready yet. So sometimes the off season catches up with you in a hurry because the season, you know, gets upon us, all of us, and surprises us sometimes.
Yep. And so to what you said a little while ago, it, you know, kind of hits home whenever you say the name Shangri-La Speedway turn into Tioga Speedway. But I said when we first got here, when Brian and I found out that Myrtle Beach Speedway was going to be gone, it kind of hit both of us by surprise. We weren't really ready for it. We had our 2020 schedule already made. Yep. And full, and kind of Bob Lutz dragged his feet on, let's talk about it. And then when we found out, you know, man, it hurt both of us to see a track go away. And Shangri-La is the same way, where, you know, when Myrtle Beach was lost, I know it felt the same way for Brian because he grew up there, no different than when I lost Shangri-La. And, man, I think the both of us kind of said to ourselves, we can't let that happen again. So we stand here, both feet on the ground, putting our head down, trying to make sure that doesn't happen, because right now Shangri-La Speedway is a gravel pit. You know, that you can see the space it used to be in. But, man, what a cool place. And Bob, you can kind of speak on this when it comes to Shangri-La Speedway. Obviously, very similar here to Florence Motor Speedway. Shangri-La, we didn't have backstretch walls. We didn't have a turn one. From turn one all the way around, just like it is here, we had a lot less banking, even though this doesn't have banking. Shangri-La Speedway had no banking. We had just, I was almost negative going the opposite direction. But it was so cool and so unique. Like, you go off the racetrack, and I remember so many times, well, first off, when the gravel pit started to get built, that got dangerous because off of turn one, they could drop down about 40 feet. But if you spun down the backstretch, you'd go off into a cornfield, and then once you got into the cornfield, you'd lose them for, it'd feel like 10 minutes. You're like, where the heck are they? And all of a sudden, they'd come behind you in the grandstands, and they'd pop back out in turn one at the crossover gate. You know, we had a fence, no different than here. I mean, the similarities to Florence kind of racetrack-wise are very similar to what Shangri-La Speedway was.
Yeah, I never thought about that too, but you're absolutely right. You know, there's a, you know, a point of no return, I guess is what you would call it, and you can get lost in a hurry, and that's part of what makes both racetracks, you know, really unique, and I love that aspect. Heck, I remember Shangri-La, Steve. I was a 15-year-old kid, maybe writing for Area Auto Racing News or Speedway Scene back in the day, and you know, I remember they said, hey, do you want to drive the pace car? I hadn't even had my license yet, but right. You know, my dad's like, no, you're not driving it. And I'm like, forget that. I'm driving the pace car. And I went out there and paced the field. And I remember it was, I believe, Mike McLaughlin and Bob Park on the front row for that. And they were, you know, they knew I didn't have my license at the time. And I went out there and, you know, they started to pull up and weave next to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to crash on the pace lap.
Yep.
But just some great memories there. And you know, you're right. I mean, you know, Florence has got that feel because when you drive the modifieds off the corner, you want to use all that tire, all that 600 horsepower that you can. But the end of the racetrack happens in a hurry, you know, depending on how your car is handling. So I'm sure for some of the younger drivers especially, it's going to be a little bit harrowing coming off of turn number two.
And I think some of the characteristics too, like even Myrtle Beach, the surface is very similar. I mean, the tire degradation is everything. Yep. Some of the fans that don't know any better, they'll see it going around and think it's a restrictor plate race on a 0.4 mile oval because they'll be in one line. Everyone will be packed racing, just saving them tires because it's crucial.
Yep. And I think we talked about it last week, Bob, about how year one to today have changed as far as how the drivers handle this race. The first year, I mean, they were running, we'll joke, 40-second laps for qualifying and doing half of the lap, and then they'd coast in because they didn't want to burn up tires. And then we talked about it. I think it was Jamie the Jet went out there and tried to lap the field and had a whole different concept of what he saw it being. And then it's slowly gotten, every year it seems like it gets, you know, where they've realized, like, there's a better way to manage your tires without having to go to the polar opposite of what they want to do.
I think what you see now at Florence is a lot of comers and goers. And I think that's really important because that for the people that are in the grandstands or watching on Flow Racing, I mean, that's a great opportunity to see a darn good race. And we've seen some really good races. You know, I think we've seen, you know, 3 to 5 leaders in each and every race. And, you know, sometimes you see somebody go out. Like I remember a couple of years ago, Burt Myers went out there and set sail, and then had Hershey kind of just stay within his sights. And Matt Hirschman then went on the attack. But, you know, Luke Baldwin was bouncing around the top five there last year. Ryan Newman coming strong late in the race. So I love the evolution. And when you talk about strategy, a lot of people think that's a really bad word that means boring racing. It's not. You know, you can go out and hide, okay, and lead this race and hope, you know, maybe for no caution. And, you know, maybe those guys that save catch up to you, and then it's a heck of a race at the end. Or, you know, you can do the opposite. Let somebody go, and then you're going to start reeling them back in. So I think we're going to see strategy that provides some exciting racing because of that, because you are going to have the guys that burn up the stuff and because of that are trying to save it. They're sideways coming off the corner. And then there's some different lines. I think your turn four is so pivotal to making sure that you can, you know how to, you know, with how your car is handling, making sure you know how to run that to take the most out of your car to go after the victory. We see Hirsch with a different line than Luke Baldwin and Burt Myers. And that's one thing I think about Florence. Everybody sort of has the same thought, you know, to one and even two and going into three. But turn four, do you take that higher line in the middle and get that run up off? Are you right there on the bottom and you're pushing up towards the wall? That turn four, I think, is the most critical portion of Florence Motor Speedway.
I agree. And I know from all the people I've always talked to, the biggest thing here is to it's so hard to wait, but waiting on it, those extra couple seconds, because that turn four wall, or off of turn four, the only walls we really have, they come up quick for sure. I think, you know, being that we're doing the Zach Brewer Memorial, we do have a break at lap 31 in honor of him. So I think that's going to play into the strategy. Obviously, you know, I think in the past we've been like a halfway break somewhere in there.
So we'll probably have a pretty slow pace for 31 laps.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to watch how they all play it out for 31 laps. And then after that, it's just, you know, and Bob, you can answer this. Do they have a tire? Are they going to be able to swap tires at some point? I know they move them around, but do they have an extra one? Is it a 4-tire race?
One extra tire.
One extra tire.
That usually goes in the right rear, but depending on how your stagger is and how your car is handling, you can swap some tires around to your point and make the stagger or get it closer to what you want. But yeah, they're going to be able to take that tire. And when you take that tire, also adds into the strategy. Somebody take it in, you know, early, and then everybody else comes in later, and then they're chasing that person. And can you hold them off? Can you use your mirror, or is your car good enough? So I think that always, you know, kind of goes into it. I will say, you know, I think it's awesome what's going on with the lap 31 in honor of Zach Brewer. You know, what we do always have is that end of the Bell Helmet stage number one at lap 30. So it's just an extra lap, which really won't play in, you know, a significant role, but it's to honor a great dude in Zach Brewer. But I think that break there is when you're going to see, you know, possibly, you know, some people coming in and taking on that tire and then trying to hold on, and then others are going to wait till later in the race. So that's what makes it interesting. If you're in the grandstand, you're going to see a heck of a show because of how that's designed and how the track really plays into this race.
Yeah, and for those, so Bob is going to be hosting the event on Flow Racing. So if you can't, we'd rather have you out at the racetrack. That's the ultimate goal. We want people to come and witness and feel the power of these things, especially this event for me anyways, you know, and the family of Zach. We're going to do a lot of cool stuff. I've worked really hard to try to make sure. I promised after he passed away, I promised his wife, Kim, that I would do everything in my power to make this event about him and for him. And I feel like we've done that with the things we're going to do. And I just wish and hope that anyone that's able to come watch this, at least if you don't want to come back ever again, just come and enjoy celebrating Zach and celebrating his family. They're going through a tough time, obviously, with little Avery being about 10 years old and losing her dad at a young age, and the family trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces and move on is tough. And we've got to, as a community, come together this weekend and give him a chance to smile, give him a chance to remember. I saw some videos she sent. They actually, Brandon Ward has been phenomenal as far as helping us out, getting the car back ready, not to race, obviously, but to go out there and be a part of the event, you know, leading the field, coming to green. We're going to have it on property. But Brandon Ward stepped up, and he's actually bringing it here in his hauler. And everybody just getting together and just, again, just giving the family a chance to kind of take a deep breath and be excited about something again after what happened. So, again, Bob, we can't thank you enough for joining us here on tap. And we look forward to seeing you this weekend. Anything that you're looking forward to besides just overall modifieds and the race season beginning?
Yes, I saw the weather forecast. It looks good. And I'm excited about beautiful, sunny weather in the Palmetto State, because I live up in the mountains in North Carolina right now, and it's been cold. It was -5 last week. So I'm done with winter. I'm ready for spring, and spring arrives this weekend with the Zach Brewer Memorial for the Smart Modified Tour at Florence. And I cannot wait to get down there.
We caught it. We've knock on wood. We've been lucky. We're two for two right now with the icebreaker being about 75 degrees. But again, looking forward to seeing this weekend. If you can't join us on property, like I said, Bob is going to be on the broadcast for Flow Racing. So tune in there. And then we look forward to coming out of the break with some more on tap. And again, Bob, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the other side. We're back on tap here for episode 6, and we came out of the break talking about some exciting news. We've said it numerous times. We'll actually here shortly we'll get into our drinking game that they don't know about yet. But you'll see it. You see it on screen already, ladies and gentlemen. There's a drinking part also.
I'm telling you, man, you'll be hammered watching this.
but we've got some podcast news. UltraBroadcasting.com. Doing our best to try to make a great product for you guys to want to see. And Brian actually was the one that said, you know what? You know what would be cool to have on our platform is Boo Carlisle. So Boo, Aaron Goodman, congratulations on everything you guys got going on in between the Stars Tour, Stars Superstock stuff, your sponsorship stuff. Just you've done a great job. So welcome to UltraBroadcasting.com, as well as welcome to On Tap.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, we're glad to be here, man. It'll definitely be a fun, if nothing else.
Yep. So Brian and I are still, we got to get the verbiage down. So for those that are watching, so we're adding Aaron and Boo are going to have their own podcast on the channel. That's going to be, fill us in a little bit on that, Boo.
Me and Aaron will have a podcast called Booze, the real podcast where me and her sit down together and break down everything, man. You know, having a relationship in racing ain't easy. We've seen a lot of people fail at it. So, you know, we'll give our side of the story of how we're successful at it and how we run a, you know, I like to think a successful touring series for the Superstocks. And, man, it might be some relationship advice in there. You never know. And then what's your vision for Booze?
So
getting down to the nitty gritty of it.
I thought you were talking to me, but I definitely want to hear Aaron's
version. This guy will talk now, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Brian
give him a platform. So, he will run that mouth.
Yeah, so Brian got mad at me early. He had to raise his hand because I started talking. Because I don't like in this whole process, it's a matter of trying to figure out when do we all land in the right spot. But Aaron, please elaborate on how you see Booze playing out.
Yeah, it's getting into the nitty gritty of racing, you know, the ins and outs of it. There's a lot of people, you know, we'll call them the keyboard warriors, that think that they can run a series or run a racetrack better than the people doing it. And they don't really know what it entails and what goes into it. And so breaking down, you know, how we lock in these deals with racetracks and how we make a schedule. It's not just, you know, throwing a dart and picking where we go. And then obviously, you know, the elephant in the room, I'm a female, I'm in the race tower. I'm making calls, so we're going to address that. We're going to talk about how hard it is to be a female in this sport and earn the respect the proper way.
Absolutely. And so that a little bit is exactly what you guys are wanting to do, is what Brian and I kind of wanted to sit here and do. So just like the icebreaker, we had our chance to kind of speak our piece on what went down in Tech, and we got to kind of talk about why we did things, because it is super frustrating. We've talked about in numerous episodes that I don't get on social media. I do in the mornings when I'm just drinking coffee and I just scroll for a minute, but I don't respond. I don't put my own posts out. I do if I'm super hammered.
Do you coffee in the mornings? I thought we're now on Ultra Zero.
Well, I got to go coffee first, then Ultra Zero.
29 calorie
beer. That sets the edge.
But
I got it.
But we do scroll and we do read, and it is frustrating because I'll take a perfect example. It was last race. We had some bathroom issues here on property. Worked super hard over the last 5 years we've been here to make sure our bathrooms are on point, whether they're clean, they're functioning. But man, some things happen that they're out of your control. Like we found out, I had Roto-Rooter here just the other day and found out what we had to fix, but it was nothing I could have fixed at the time. But man, everybody wants to get on social media and be like, oh, you got to have working bathrooms. Well, I had working bathrooms when we started. They just didn't want to work when we were in the middle of it. But once you're in the middle of it, you can't stop that.
Yep.
Like, there's no fixing it.
Social media has killed everything. They'll put that Venn diagram out, and they might have 15,000 pros, 2 or 3 cons. They're going to talk about the cons.
100%. Every time. So Brian and I want to, like, that's why we're sitting here, is we want to have our chance to kind of explain our side of the story. And I think that's great, what you guys are wanting to do with the booze and – that Star Series you guys come up with, Superstock, you've worked your tail off, and people, Brian and I talk about it all the time, and you guys can speak on it here, is that people just will, I don't know how many podcasts we could put out and how we could explain it, but I don't know if anyone would ever understand what it takes to do this. You know, whether it's running a racetrack or running a series, they want it, and they want it better, but they don't want to be a part of it, but they do want to talk crap about it. So on your guys' behalf, what are your struggles? What's tough for you guys right now on the Star side?
I'll lead off and say everybody judges the dog shit out of stuff, man, off car count. It don't matter how hard you work, what you do. I get people saying, what's the entry list like? Well, I could post the entry list, and we did it the first few races. We'd have 25 cars on the entry list, and then 13 would roll out of the trailer Saturday morning. You know, so I got to the point where I didn't want to do that type of stuff no more. And the most people that talk junk, you know, I'm a pretty nice guy on social media, but this podcast to give me some time to blow some steam off. I'm an extremely nice guy, easy to get along with. The most people that send me messages and phone calls and just truly bitch as much as possible, they never show up.
Yeah.
Not once. I got one guy that has been complaining to me for 3 years about the motor package he's got, and he sat in the grandstands one race, but he'll be the absolute first to tell us that we don't know what we're doing, yada, yada, yada. You know, 85% of it's positive. It's 15% of it negative. But, I try to look at the 85% positive, but I still get pissed off at the 15%. And I'll be able to blow some steam off on this podcast. So y'all definitely check out Booze, because, you know, it'd be kind of, it's going to be boozed. So, yep. It'll be high turned up energy where I can get it off my chest. And Erin's got much stuff on her side she can talk about where some of her complaints about it.
Yeah, a lot of it, and obviously you guys can relate, it's like they want the instant satisfaction, but they don't understand the amount of work that it takes. You know, we got a lot of crap because we didn't have the schedule out when they wanted it out. And if it was that easy to make a race schedule and lock it all in, then again, everybody would be doing it. And they have no clue that each race is different and requires something different, and insurance policies and contracts and the back and forth and, you know, merchandise. Everybody wants merchandise. They want a new shirt, but they don't understand the investment and how much time and money that it costs to offer merchandise and to, you know, sit on that. And then, you know, obviously, like I touched on earlier, we've heard it a couple times already that there's no place for tits in the tower. So that's something that I get.
That could
often
be a nice podcast name. That could be a cool, like, new podcast.
She's already ahead of you.
So me and one of the drivers in our tour, Cody DeMarbles, his wife Lydia and I are real good friends, and she's a spotter. And so we joked around that our podcast one day would be called Tits in the Tower.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, I got to lose some weight. I'm excited. Oh, no, Tits in the Tower. Not Lee. Sorry, Jesus.
You know, that's another thing, Steve, that I think that you can relay to just being a track owner, you and Brian. You know, there's some people that say, well, you know, her and Lydia, it don't look good them hanging out so much and her husband racing and, oh, he's getting by with this, he's getting by with that. No, he ain't getting by with Jack. No. Like, we're taking him tougher just to keep these stereotypes out so them two can hang out and drink beer on Saturday night and stuff like that. You know, that's just kind of like everybody at Hickory had that idea of Piercy's cars always getting the best tires Hoosiers ever made, like they're making some damn special brand or something that, you know, anytime a Piercy car went there, like, man, everybody's getting a fair shake everywhere. Yeah. We ain't letting nobody slide with nothing, just like you ain't letting nobody slide with nothing, man. Y'all got the best tech in the world.
Yeah.
And to give an example, Mike Cox, I qualified second when I came to race with y'all, and he was like, no, man, you got to change this. And he was like, well, wait a minute, ain't these your rules? And he caught me on something. He said, before qualifying, you better change this. He caught me after practice. He said, because if you qualify, I'm going to throw you out. And I was completely, I just missed it. I completely missed it. It was an inch too much. And I had to take it off. But again, you know, like there's some people where local divisions, they may turn a blind eye to it or something. But no, when you come to Florence, you damn better be right. Now, I'm not kissing your butt. I'm just telling you, you got a phenomenal team there.
Yep. Yeah, and so we'll say the same thing. So Owen is the same way, right? Like, so we've got to watch ourselves. Owen probably gets hit the hardest, and Brian was the same way.
Oh, I'm looking for a reason.
Yeah, Brian.
Put him to the back.
Oh, yeah, Owen, yeah.
Put him to the back.
Oh, yeah.
Because so the story goes that so Brian and I are failed race – well, we're not failed race car drivers.
Whoa,
but
you sure know how to cut to the core of us, don't you? Good
But I'm a
grief.
Failed race car driver when it comes to Martinsville. But the we wanted to be race car drivers, and we wanted to live the dream. Well, Owen's living it currently, and we live vicariously through him. So Owen will send Brian messages while he's on the lift coming down with his car, and he's like, look at me. And Brian's gotten to a point, he's like, that's some of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, give me a chance to send you the rear, and I'll send you the rear.
Yeah, I'll call Steve and talk shit. And then when Owen sends me to him, oh, that's nice, man. He said, that's my backup. Oh, dude, okay. I get it. Yeah. Like, I get you just shit on the rag, but don't rub it in my face, please.
Yeah.
You just you breathe on somebody and they spin out. I got you, buddy.
But no, we get it. Like I said, it's so tough. Like, I mean, Brian and I talked about this again in an episode where I had to send Brian to the rear. I mean, it's tough. Like, but you like and so we'll go to without making this. I hope this episode doesn't turn into a 2-hour because this is good
it
conversation.
Should. It should.
But I mean, perfect example was Brian and I talked a little bit in this podcast was about Daytona, right? So consistency is key. So, you know, and it's just come out of nowhere with this NASCAR stuff. But, man, you got to do the same thing over and over, and it doesn't matter who it is. As long as you do the same thing every single time, whether it's you leading the race, whether it's Brian leading the race, whether it's Owen leading the race or myself, you have to do the same thing whether you like it or not. You know, people disagree with how we handle jumping the starts. People disagree with how we handle cautions because there's racing incidents. There's all that stuff. But as long as you do it the same way every time, no matter what, we talked about it earlier, Will Burns, we said, and Chris Throckmorton, they got to the point where they just pull over because they know they're going to the rear, and that's what we're trying to get to. That's where you got to be. And this NASCAR stuff recently, which is surprising, kind of came out of nowhere. But, you know, they'll fix it. They'll clean it up. I think they're going to get more consistent. I think they tried a couple things. But man, it's cool to finally have a platform where we can, like you said, you kind of take a deep breath and be like, all right, I want to say my side.
Exactly. And you know, I know we hadn't announced it yet, but with my one-on-one podcast, I've said it for years. I've been to the fair and seen the bear, man. I've seen so much stuff. And, you know, it's time to tell those stories with like longtime guests like yourself. I want to sit down with you, me with my Jack Daniels and you with your zero calorie beer and tell your side of the story of what happened last November, man, with the whole, you know, with the whole broadcast thing. You deserve to get that story out. It needs to be out. Because I know what happened, but a lot of other people, they was too busy driving them nails in you. They don't know what happened. They didn't give you a chance. You know, you was guilty before you even got to the courthouse.
That's right. No, I agree. And I look forward to that conversation because it would be nice to say it out loud. Because Brian knows, you know, no different than today. A little bit with some of the testing. I'm a pushover because I want to be everyone's friend. I want everyone to have a good time. And you know, when
she
someone comes up,
she tells me that all the time about me too. So we in good company.
Yeah. So when they came up and they said, "Is it okay if we do X, Y, and Z?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's fine."
What's
in my
the,
head,
what's
I'm
the,
like,
old
"Son
saying,
of a bitch, what
it's
are you
not
talking
personal,
about?
It's business." Well, the personal outweighs the business sometimes with Steve. I mean, he's just so nice to everybody, and they just take advantage of it.
Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, so. We're actually, I feel like we'll take a quick break and come back to some more of this, because I feel like there's a lot more we can all talk about your series, what you got going on. My beer is getting low. I don't know about your whiskey, but my beer is starting to get a little low.
One day we'll have enough in the budget we can actually get something out of here.
But let's take a quick break and let's come back to this conversation. So stay tuned. Stay here. We got more on tap with Aaron and Boo.
Communication is key in the racing world. When it comes to at-the-track communications, there is only one place to call. Racing Electronics is the number one source for professional race communications worldwide. Over 20 years in the business proves their dedication to the sport. With every driver and crew communication, two-way radios and headsets, scanners and more, Racing Electronics is a one-stop communication source for all your motorsports needs. Before the green flag flies, make sure you have all your team communication gear from Racing Electronics. Stop by and see a Racing Electronics representative at the track near you. Visit their showroom in Concord, North Carolina, or order online at racingelectronics.com.
We're back on tap here with Steve and Brian, as well as Aaron and Boo, our new podcast creators here on ultrabroadcasting.com. Stay tuned shortly. Not only will their podcast be on our platform will be on all major applications, and you'll be able to just easily get to it and enjoy all of the content that we're about to give you guys.
I said it earlier, but their coverage is going to outweigh ours.
Oh yeah,
the Brian, viewership from them guys are gonna. Yeah. Like, we're gonna be.
We've been doing pretty good on our own, and
we've been treading water. We're about to drown.
Yeah, we're about to drown. So it's all good. it's fine. We'll be the parents enjoying our children.
We will still sit back and drink beer.
Oh, we're definitely gonna drink beer. Yeah. But Brian coming out talking a little bit during the break on our behalf. Brian was talking about the icebreaker and how great the show was. So kind of fill us in on how everything was on your end and the things that are going on with the Stars Tour going forward.
Ah, man, it was a great opening event. We had the Bundrick Grail 40 was great. We had a competitor come down that had been watching us. A lot of northern guys say they're going to come. We had a guy come from Buffalo, New York. They said it was a foot of snow, so they've always wanted to come down and race, so they came down and raced with us. You know, I felt like we had a great kickoff with our new partnership with Simpson, with Chris Dilbeck and J.D. Bowser. We announced the Simpson Select 5. And, you know, just trying to do something like the Cars Tour did with the Tour in 12. Not really stealing their idea, but some people say we did steal their idea, but it seems to be working so far. So every race this year, if we can take those four guys and one girl, the girl being a badass race car driver and Brittany Cockrum, you know, it'd be cool when we roll into some of these racetracks that that not many people want to go to. So, but getting back to Florence, the icebreaker, man, 40 green flag laps, no cautions. The only dispute we had was the dudes in last place beating the hell out of each other. They was the only ones that was ready to go at it in the pits after the race was over with. But everybody else, man, put on a great race. They even asked us, they was like, why don't you throw a competition caution? Why ain't you never thought of that idea? I was like, because y'all usually run into each other and we don't have to worry about it.
Well, no, I contemplated. I thought long and hard about it, and I was going to throw one. But then I was like, no, because as soon as I do that, they'll bitch that I threw the caution. But instead, they bitch that I didn't throw the caution. I'm like, I can't make you happy. Yep. So I let you race it out.
Yep. Another expression, cautions do breed cautions. So, I mean, once you bring out one, it's going to be nonstop, and them guys might not even show up next race because they got a damaged race car.
Exactly.
I mean, in the super stock, street stock world, these are guys, some of them, you know, they're skipping the power bill, hoping they make enough back at the end of the night to pay the power bill the next week. So, you know, we definitely don't want to tear up no race cars. Rolling into South Boston, March 22nd. Is the next Star Tour race, Alliance Driveway Solutions Star Tour race. We just announced that. Tate Lida and JL Lida, big time supporters of what we've been trying to do. So that's a huge help to us to keep this ball rolling and keep it going. You know, got some other stuff on the works. You know, these product sponsors, they may be small. You know, they don't give money per se. Everybody thinks you got to do that. But, man, product helps keep this ball rolling too. Makes these guys and girls feel appreciated, gives them something. What was that, Aaron, that Simpson gave us to give away to the winner? They're going to give a different thing every time. They gave something at the icebreaker.
Oh, a dryer.
Yeah, you could put your gloves or your helmet on it, or your boots on it, and it dries them off. I mean, again, in the late model world, that may be a very common thing, or the cup world, that may be a common thing. I can promise you that'll be Ricky Locklear Jr. will be the first Star Tour driver of any time the whole 3 years that's got one of these dryers.
Sometimes when you race with us, he runs like three or four divisions in one night. Like, dude, cool off.
Yeah, much as he races, he needs to cool off. So big thank you to Simpson. I mean, you know, working a deal out with Butler Built now. So we got a good connection over there with Jessica Reed, Caden Honeycutt's girlfriend. So, man, I preach it all the time, but connections. Y'all too know this. Again, it don't have to be money with partners. Product helps so much. You know, that's something we can talk about on our podcast, on Ultra Broadcasting, that you guys have given us. But after that, we go to Lonesome Pine. That's another place that, man, beautiful, absolutely beautiful place. Wish we could pick it up and bring it to us. You know, it's just so far out there on the other side of the banjo music that not a lot of people really want to go. But, you know, with that Simpson Select 5, they're kind of signed in to go, and they're looking forward to going. So I feel like we're off to a great start. Again, man, 40 green flag laps of the icebreaker. Steve cut his 10 laps because he was worried we was going to tear a bunch of stuff up. I'm kind of glad he did, because the second place was catching the first place car, and I was like, hell, if he gets to him, you know, I might be pulling some Locklears off somebody. So I'm glad we stayed with 40 laps.
We've had to do that. We've also had to pull my dad off of Locklears.
Well, I'm pretty mindful being on the other side of the fence. I knew what tires that we had for sets, so I said 40 laps would be a stretch probably that they'll make it without being a huge complaint. But I mean, I think it turned out good. We talked about it on an earlier episode. It was pretty wild that the only race that had caution was the late model guys, cars that should be the easiest to drive, the drivers that should have more talent than anybody, and they were the one that kept creating cautions.
Yep. So we'll kind of end this portion of it. Excited about what you guys are going to bring with your two podcasts, Booze and Been to the Fair and Seen the Bear.
I'll get it
eventually. And with my t-shirt machine, I will have apparel. We'll have merch. I can't promise when, but it's. I'm telling you right now, that t-shirt machine of mine is a thing. But anyways, we're excited. Boo and Aaron, thank you guys so much for first off everything besides Ultra Broadcasting, just what you bring to short track racing, what you bring to Florence Motor Speedway. We're all fans. Like, that's what we keep talking about. Brian and I keep pushing the idea that we have passion. And without guys like us with passion and guys and girls like you with passion, man, we go back to what we talked with Bob Dillner on how my home track, Shangri-La Speedway, Myrtle Beach Speedways, they fall away, man. They go away, and all of a sudden the thing we love doesn't exist anymore. So without people like you and people like ourselves just keep pushing the envelope on this and trying different things. You might not like it, but at the end of the day, it's good for the sport, I think.
And it's never showing favoritism, but you got to be personable with these people in the pits. That's what keeps them coming back, where you guys were touching on, like, oh, maybe you're getting favorites here, favorites there. No, there's no favoritism. When you got to draw the line, we draw the line. But you got to be personable. You got to keep these people coming back. They leave in a good mood, or even if you ruffled their feathers the wrong way, they know, maybe we did mess up. Let's reevaluate that, because they never treated us that bad prior.
Right. Yeah, so
you'd be surprised how far a thank you goes. I appreciate y'all coming. Yep, if there's anything we can help get here next time, let us know.
Yeah, even like you said, Brittany and Darren Cockrum, I walked back there to them. I said, I know that you're here probably with Boo with the Star deal and Aaron. But I told Darren, I said, thank you also for bringing your Limited. And I don't know where that went to, but I know he traveled a good distance to come here, so we were very thankful.
Oh, yeah, they traveled a good ways from Virginia. But, Steve, put the red flag out, man, for you in this with us. We got a hell of a celebration on Saturday, March 15th, to talk about, man.
Yep. Congratulations.
Go ahead, Aaron, tell them about it.
Yeah, congratulations, first off. But go ahead, Aaron. Tell us all about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so obviously we know Kicking Asphalt, Boo's been working really hard on it, and he has finally reached that million views mark. So with no better idea, I figured why not load up everyone that has supported, that has been on Kicking Asphalt, that has cheered us on, been a part of this journey, and we are going to Coyote Joe's in Charlotte, and we are going to have a bull riding competition. We're going to throw some drinks back. We are going to celebrate Kicking Asphalt and Boo and have a grand old time. And so we want everyone to come out and celebrate with us. So if you are in the Charlotte area or you love a road trip, hop in your car, load your cooler, and make sure you got your party pants on because it's going to be a hell of a time.
They don't shut down to 2 o'clock, man. I want everybody listening to this podcast to know, you know, fans, if you bought a t-shirt, come drink with us. Let's throw it back. You know, I want the record to pull me and Steve out of there when he's drinking them 29-calorie beers at the end of the night.
You lost me at the 2 o'clock part. I don't know
what you will defeat the bull that night. You'll stay up. I'm gonna beat that.
I'm 40. I'll be 44 this year. And man, 9 o'clock's a cool time for me. 2 o'clock is. I had that in me a long time ago, but I've lost that love.
AARP cards in the middle.
I've lost that love and feeling on the 2 o'clock. Tough, 2 o'clock. You might as well go ahead. I'd be from any of our movies. Zombie.
just
wandering around. What the hell is Zacharias doing over there? Is he peeing in the corner again? God damn it, Zacharias.
Don't mind him.
He'll be fine.
Typical Saturday. Oh, yeah, man. But everybody's invited, man. I can't stress that enough. Want to see everybody. There's been so many people that's been featured on Kicking Asphalt with me doing the Cars Tour stuff. And when my street stock was tore up, I got to do buddies, you know, some of my buddy stuff. You know, so I want everybody to come together. There's not much racing other than Southern National and Hickory that night. So if anybody can get over there, I mean, hell, bring your mama, bring your daddy. I mean, it's the racing world. It's taboo, but, you know, bring your wife, put her on the first floor, hide your girlfriend on the second floor. Hell, bring everybody, you know, the girlfriend your wife don't know about. Let's all get together and have a good time.
You guys spent a lot of time in Charlotte. You remember, the Breakfast Club, the 80s club, that they had all those levels. And like one floor was 80s, one floor was 90s. Like it was badass. But anyways, I digress. Looking forward to. I'm telling you right now, Brian and I are both going to.
Let's bring some cameras. How about ultra broadcast in there, filming it all? Geez. I mean, come on.
We'll bring Leanne. That'd we'll have
a
Leanne.
Time.
What a time!
Is that one NC-17? It's like we go back in the day. You
want to
watch it?
You want to talk? You want to talk about extra content? That would be fun as hell.
That would be pretty nice.
We'll discuss that as we get closer. But we're definitely in for March 15. Congratulations on the million viewers.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
You know, that's a big deal. I mean, we're just impressed that we get any viewers. And to get to a million is a great accomplishment. You've worked really hard. We've been proud of you guys both throughout this whole thing because for two guys that sit here at a table knowing what it takes to even just remotely put on a series or an event, we give you guys kudos and congratulations. Thanks. So we're looking forward to a working relationship. We've already had one, but man, looking forward to seeing what you guys got to say, putting it on our platform, building this little ultra broadcasting together. Again, Brian and I keep saying we don't even know what it means, where it's trying to go, but we're just going to keep putting the best stuff out there with the best people. And I think race fans and race supporters will understand. Like when they see it and see the passion we all have, it could be something. So we're just going to keep plugging along at it. We appreciate you being a part of it, and we look forward to our next race with you guys. We look forward to your next race, and we thank you for being here, and we hope to see everybody on the other side of this break on tap. What a good show episode 6 has become. We're excited to have our Zach Brewer Memorial. We had a chance to talk to Bob Dillner about modifieds in general. Had a chance to kind of dive into NASCAR. Brian had to raise his hand numerous times during this episode. Apparently, I have
to, featuring. I'm redoing the logo, featuring Brian. Sometimes.
barely featuring.
When called upon.
But and then we spoke to Aaron and Boo, and excited about.
Well, I don't have to redo the logo because they rolled me out. They're going to take it all over.
Oh,
podcasts,
yeah.
Like they got it covered.
Yeah, they were, but we may, this might.
I mean, I was laughing. Everything he said he was going to do, and she was like, I'm going to add on to it. Like, it's going to be pretty good coverage. Yeah. I'm excited to see it. I mean, I don't know if you and I can even survive with that.
Yeah, which is fine. Like I said, we're at this point just using this camera and these microphones for a chance to drink beer together.
Yeah, it's fun.
So that works out good for us. But no, I think episode 6, we said it earlier, we got a lot of drinking games that came out of this episode.
We did.
We think that we're both surprised that we've had this many episodes so far.
We are.
We're also surprised that when I look at the numbers, that as many people have watched our episodes.
For sure.
No,
I'm doing now. I'm doing like two word jabs. I'm just getting in when I can.
Yeah,
I know you got to breathe at some point.
My turn. But no, it's been fun, and you know, super excited to be a part of just all the stuff that we're doing. We talked about it numerous times. Is that ultrabroadcasting.com? We don't know what it means. We don't know where it's going. We're just going to keep putting out the best stuff every day that we can. And I think we've got other podcasts that are in the works. We're not done yet. And again, if you heard us to start with, Brian and I, when we put our efforts into something, I promise you it's going to be full force. It's going to be 110%. And you're going to be surprised at the things that you enjoyed. Because, I mean, end of day, certain people like certain shows on TV, right? Like certain people like Yellowstone, certain people like...
But how many shows are the same exact thing? Like, you got to think outside the box.
Yeah, it's got to be different.
Like, you got to go above and beyond and say, oh, this is a different take on this. Yeah. So that's what we examine, and we won't do it.
Yeah, which is to our idea. We'll have Boo and Aaron do their thing. We'll do our thing. We'll get another one out there doing their thing. And you might not like ours, but you might like theirs. So,
which I think will be the consensus for most people.
Which is going to probably most likely be the consensus. But no, it's just a lot of fun stuff happening again. Because as Brian would tell you, that God forbid we just sit still and just do one thing. We seem like
that cannot happen.
We're always doing a million things. Whether it's cleaning up trash today, which so I'll say that I'll kind of close the episode and remind people. I will not call out names, but I will remind people that last year we had a post put out that going forward, and this is a 2025 thing also, practice days are not Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So please, mm-hmm. everyone, don't call me because I will tell you to come out.
Uh-oh, here we go.
But we need days ourselves. The neighbors need days off. So please,
and they remind us of that quite
often. Frequently, yeah. So please, racers, remember Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are days off for testing. So it's early in the season. I get it; everyone wants to get their couple minutes out. But going forward, no more Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays. But again, episode 6 turned out great. A lot of content.
You probably could though. $1,000 a day.
Oh yeah.
All
right. Hey, in that case,
come on out.
I'll take it every day.
That's right.
But I think it's it was a good show. I think a lot of cool stuff was said. A lot of cool things have been talked about, and might have gone a little bit longer than usual. I'm not sure yet. I won't know until I start editing it. But Brian and I talked about too. At some point, some of this stuff, even though it's going to be kind of transitioned in from breaks, some of it's going to become for the subscribers. Our idea is that if you purchase the subscription to our channel, you should get the fun stuff. You should get the
and we should never have to cut it short. Content's content. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and we pick and choose, obviously. But man, when you get a good interviewer and or interviewee, and you keep going on and on, like you can't cut that
you
short.
Can't stop it.
You got to hear the content,
right? Yeah. But we should offer it to our guys and our fan base, and at some point, our podcast will be free for a long time. Until we get to the point where we got a decent subscription where we want to just make sure that everyone's honored.
That's what we'll do. So we'll keep ours free, and then we'll start charging for Boos and Aaron's. Yeah. So once their viewership goes up, well, pay for that.
The worst part is when we end up giving ours for free and we're having everybody pay for theirs, and ours still
is instant competition. That's just where we're at. It's like racing.
It's still lower.
We're already competing, though. That's where we're at, man. It's just like a Fox, like a sitcom. Every sitcom wants to outdo the other one. They come on the same network.
That's right.
We're already there.
But, again, another good episode, episode 6. We got the track clean. Got the infield clean, kind of in a fast pace. Brian.
Track's clean.
Yeah, track's clean. Oh, that little mat that we have is amazing.
It's good.
But Brian stacked tires. Zach Brewer Memorial is coming up this Saturday. We're on to race weekend, man. As always, we thank you guys for joining us. We look forward to seeing you this weekend. If you're not able to join us on property, Flow Racing will cover the vintage to start the day and also the Zach Brewer Memorial. As soon as the Zach Brewer Memorial Smart Tour event is over, it'll transition over to Ultra Broadcasting, and we'll be back live with all of our support divisions. So, again, thank you for being a part of UltraBroadcasting.com. Thank you for being a part of OnTap, and we'll see you next week.